This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get in the know. Nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
Football.
Not just any Purple Daily as I hit the button that turns my mic on because I'm a professional. Comments from YouTube, PD, brought to you by our friends. Presenting sponsor, Surly Brewing, of course, the best beer in town, if not the world. And TCL TV, if you're not watching your sports on TCL TV, what are you doing? Best place to watch sports, TCL TV. Zolgad and Declan Goff, as always, comments from YouTube edition of Purple Daily on Monday. And Declan, the floor is yours.
All right. Comments from YouTube every Monday and Saturday on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. Drop a comment on our YouTube page if you'd like your question answered. What's a lot of questions about the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with this one from Derek. So I get why the schedulers want Vikings and Packers in the last 2 to 3 weeks of the season. But why do the Vikings always go to Lambeau at the end of the season when it's cold and crappy? Why can't the Vikes get Lambeau in the first 4 to 5 weeks when it's still nice and sunny in Wisconsin?
Because it's more fun from a television standpoint, from a visual standpoint, if it's freezing cold and snowing. Second of all, that comment, it's based on, and this is not a criticism, but it's based on recency bias, because as recently as like 2018 and 19, I believe the Vikings made early season trips there.
They did.
I want to say they were there at the Daniel Carlson game, which, believe it or not, is not that long ago. It was like in week two.
Yep.
But yeah, it's two things. One is they juggle that so that there will be, and it feels like when they get into schedule tendencies that we'll get the same thing for a while. So they juggle that, not on a year by year basis, but it feels like more like every 2 or 3 years. And second of all, games in Lambeau Field in December that mean something from a television standpoint are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Yeah. Pretty plain and simple. Yeah. Excuse me, 2019, they were there, I think in week four, because Kirk had an awful game. I haven't even the second game of the year.
And 18, they were there early
as
well.
They were there early in 18. And then they, I believe in Kirk's first year, they beat the Packers here in like the November, October game. And then 2020, obviously, they opened here.
Yes.
Green Bay was here.
Yep.
And then the Vikings went there, in October, and they got a win. So it was... I prefer it. I love the cold. Give me the cold weather. I love the cold weather football. You just went on a rant last weekend about how we should be an outdoor football team to a degree. So I love the cold weather.
Right.
And Bring it on.
And the schedule is not designed for fans of teams. It's designed for the viewing public, right?
Yep.
So like the league doesn't sit down and think, what's best for Packers and Vikings fans? The league says, how can we have as much fun as possible?
Some Vikings fans think the league is actually working for the Packers.
I know.
The
officials
all the time.
They
could be shareholders. You never
know. That's another thing.
Never know.
Thanks, Bernie.
More schedule thoughts here. Let's go to Terry. Terry says, if the Vikings win the opening game against the Packers, we will then see what this coach, Kevin O'Connell, is all about. Can he get them down off the Packer win and then ready for a Monday night game in Philadelphia? Oh, my God. Can you get the team down off the Packer win? That is phenomenal.
Oh, man.
And ready for a Monday night game in Philadelphia. Yeah. And I think we're going to have this conversation later on, too, with Mackie and Judd when we're at full strength. Because Kevin Seifert, friend of the show, friend of Judd Zolgad's on ESPN.com, who's now on the Vikings beat, or has pivoted, I should say, back to the Vikings beat for ESPN, laid this out that getting off to a hot start, I think, is imperative for the Vikings. Just the last few years, they have not gotten off that hot start, right? Kirk's year,
it's possible, too.
Tie. They were two. Yeah, they need to get off to that hot start.
Uh-huh.
And look, hey, two tough opponents. I think they should be able to win week one, but going to Philadelphia on a Monday night's not going to be a fun time to be. a fun place to be, excuse me. So getting off to a hot start. We have yet to really see that from a Vikings team in quite some time.
So you should be, in my opinion, you should split those first two, okay?
Okay.
So I'm fine with 1-1. It's the next games you should win. Detroit, right? In week 3?
That's a, yep.
You should win that game. I think that you should beat the Saints in London. The Saints don't scare me.
Yep.
You should beat the Saints. So that constitutes, to me, a hot start. Because so I don't think you're going to.
3-1.
Yeah, because I don't think you're going to beat the Packers and Philly. I think you should beat one of them. But it's the two games after that. And then it goes, if I'm not mistaken, Detroit at home, the Saints in London, not at the Superdome, Chicago, Miami. I think you lose Miami, maybe, but I think you should beat Detroit. I think you should beat the Saints. And I know, sure as hell, the 2022 Bears should not beat you.
No, not at all. The Bears are going to be pretty bad. Unless Justin Fields is somehow unlocked.
They want to be bad.
Yeah.
Unless, they're designed to be bad.
Unless Justin Fields is somehow magically unlocked, which I have questions on. So more schedule questions here. Ruben says, I'm most excited. I did this with the Vikings Ventline guests on Sunday's episode of Ventline, and I asked them what schedule and what games on the schedule are they most excited for. And it felt like, in our comment section and with our two guests that were on Vikings Ventline, the Bills game comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Saints game in London is fun theatricals, you know, and it's kind of a fun situation. Mm. Opening at home against the Green Bay Packers is good. But Ruben says, I'm most excited for Arizona because we always have good games against them. He's right. The Cardinals games have, at the very least, have always been wildly entertaining. I remember, was it Teddy Bridgewater's first year there? That was a wild, raucous back and forth game. They've always just had really good games against the Arizona Cardinals. I like that one.
That's an interesting one. I didn't think of that. I do think that Cliff Kingsbury, I think this is his last year, unless they surprise. I think that this is it.
Probably playoffs or playoff win or bust for Kingsbury, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and as Kyler, I think they're going to do what they can for sure to keep Kyler happy.
Yeah.
And if Kyler's not, I think he's gone. Kingsbury's gone. I see that right now as we talk about the schedule in May as an eminently winnable home game.
Hmm.
That's one I believe when we did Judd, Phil, and Declan's 1.0 Viking schedule prediction. I'm almost positive I had that as a win.
Yeah. It should be a win. They got and also like Arizona isn't a pushover and they usually get off to hot starts, but that's also still a decent team. Kyler Murray, I like Kyler Murray. I have questions off about him as a leader off the field, but he's fun when he's on, man. He's a joystick. One more schedule thought here from Rain Man. He says, man, ready for this trap game thought here, Judd?
Sure.
He says, man, you guys are underestimating the Jets. That's shaping up to be a classic Vikings letdown game. Not to mention, the Jets have had the Vikings number the past few decades. The Vikings have won the last two, according to Rain Man, but the Jets beat them 7 straight times prior to that, no matter how bad the Jets or the Vikings have been.
Interesting.
What about the Jets as a potential trap game
for
the Vikes?
I like that.
They made a lot of splashes, didn't they?
They've done some things. They've improved themselves. Rain Man, you're right. That's a potential trap game.
The Jets.
I just don't know if the Vikings by that point in the season are going to be in a position to have trap games because I have no idea if the Vikings are going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets have been a running joke now for how long? I mean, it's been a long time. But I don't disagree with that point.
Yeah, it's a December.
Like, I sort of like it.
It's a December home game for the Vikings.
You know what, Declan? I'm going to tell you right now, sports son.
Okay.
I don't know if the Vikings are going to win or lose that game, but I know one thing.
Okay.
And I think it's true of both of us.
Yep.
We will be enjoying at some point that day, you probably in-game, me post-game,
yep.
Something, a favorite beverage that we both have from our friends at Surly Brewing. Now, in my case, Furious.
Yeah, right.
Big red can. In fact, I went to the Twins game on Saturday, and I ducked out of the press box, and about the fifth, I said, I'm going to go enjoy one.
Good for you.
One Surly. And I got the big can.
Yep, the
Chip
the big
loves.
Boys there. Yeah,
I love the big boys. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Now, in your case.
Surly Supremes.
That's what I was going to ask. What will you be sipping on during the Jets Vikings game?
Yeah, probably. During the Twin season, a Surly Supreme because it's nice. It's hot out. But by the time it gets December, right, we're now in colder weather territory. And it's a Sunday, and knowing old Dex tweets, if he had a few too many on Saturday, which he's known to do with his surly beverages, maybe a nice surly hell to get the hair of the dog, but at the same time, nice little lighter and crisper beer to enjoy on a December day. So, yeah, Surly Fear has plenty of good products.
And when you're drinking that stuff, you know what, Declan? What can the Purple Daily faithful do, because they do it so well?
Show us your cans.
At Jay Zulgad, J-Z-U-L-G-A-D on Twitter. Always love to see the fans sipping on a delicious Surly.
All right. Let's keep it moving. A couple more questions here. Too Evil to Hope. Yeah, that's right. Too Evil to Hope is this man's username. He says, it's strange to say that we drafted, the way we drafted was money. Excuse me. A little bit of a typo here, and also Declan's misreading. Is it strange to say the way we drafted was Moneyball? We don't operate with a different cap than other teams, and the cap isn't even considered when drafting. Saying it was an analytical approach makes sense, but not Moneyball. I know Phil's more of our Moneyball expert here, right?
I'm not going to lie here. Yes, he is.
But is there Moneyball principles that Kwesi and his staff are maybe using here? Trying to maybe cut some corners and looking at statistics and looking at areas where traditionally, football guys like Ryan Grigson would, no, not ignore, but he wouldn't lean on Grigson for these decisions. He would look on his new buddies and his new hires and this new system to try to get the most out of a value pick or a value player.
So thinking through this, I think there's some interesting points there. Dropping from 12 to 32 definitely drops the price point. Now, it doesn't drop it by a boatload. It's not like it's huge, but it's, you know, it drops it for a safety position, which, again, is, yeah, you know what? I certainly wouldn't say that it's completely borrowing from what baseball did with the A's in the early 2000s, but I see the point. Like, I wouldn't dismiss that. That's a solid point, because you were definitely trying to play around at times, not the whole time, at times. Probably going from 12 to 32, which goes to the last pick of the first round, you're definitely playing around with how much you're going to have to pay. Now, conversely, I think you then eventually came up in the second round, so you're actually paying that guy more. But yes, I think that there are many tentacles to the approach that are different than probably what we are used to.
I think
is that fair?
Yes, and I think their draft philosophy maybe has more of those Moneyball principles than it does like building out their roster and free agency. Also, trades in the NFL, I mean, it happened a little bit this offseason. Trades have never been like that big of a thing up until, you know, I know Russell Wilson got moved, but, and also the trade deadline in the NFL, easily the most unexciting trade deadline of the four major sports. It's not close. Like, there's always NBA, NHL, MLB.
They see a couple moves,
maybe. It's maybe the only thing, literally, might be the only thing the NFL can't hold their hat on to any other league. It's their trade deadline's just kind of blah.
Yep.
Just kind of blah. Doesn't really do anything for you.
Yep.
All right. Judd, before I transition to this next one from Sean E.G., new partner on Score North.
Yep. That's it. Exactly right, Dex. And this is Sports Dad here. Because people are looking for jobs, right?
Yes.
People out there right now are saying, Sports Dad, I need a job. What can I do? And I'm going to tell you right now, Polka Dot Dairy is looking for drivers to join their team. Listen to these contractual specifics, because I'm about to tell you, if I was a GM, you're going to like what you hear right now.
Okay.
Starting salary, $60,000, 401k match, and no weekends, early morning hours, so you are done early as well. A current CDL license is required. Polka Dot Dairy, it's a Minnesota-based and family-owned company with a great workplace environment. Go to polkadotdairy.com. That's polkadotdairy.com. Click on jobs to apply. Again, $60,000, 401k match, no weekends, polkadotdairy.com. And of course, when you do that, tell them, hey, Sports Dad said this is a great opportunity.
That is right. Thank you to them for jumping on board at Purple Daily. Sean says on our Purple Daily question, and this is actually an interesting one. Question, what do you think the percentage of winning probability is solely dependent on the quality of quarterbacks, including direct and indirect attributes? So this is there's probably no black and white answer to give to this one, because he's also talking about the indirect attributes and whatnot. You can win. The Vikings have proved it used to prove it for years. You can win with adequate, at best, quarterback play, right? Like they did it with T-Jack. They did it with Gus Frerotte. Case Keenum, I think, played out of his skis a little bit, but like Case is obviously not a above average quarterback.
No.
But you can win with an average guy, but your ceiling is obviously then pretty lowered, right? And you don't, other teams aren't really scared of you if you don't have that elite quarterback that can kind of rise you up. I would say, Judd, what do you, when you ask, what do you think the percentage of winning probability is solely dependent on the quality of the quarterback? I mean, the quality of the, I mean, it's 100% that it's on the quarterback. It's the most influential position in sports. Mm-hmm. But in terms of just maybe quarterback versus team, and can you get by on a bad day with your QB? What your quarterback does probably has about 75 to 80% chance of determining the outcome of your game.
Wow.
I think that's where I would go. It's a hard one to answer. But
it's hard one to answer.
That's where I would go.
Because your defense can't be a sieve. Your defense can't be terrible, but your quarterback has to be good. And the intangibles also become a thing, because the question then is, people who play quarterback who have huge intangibles can win you games on their bad days. So, like, it's not like things are always going great. I mean, I don't think there's a clear-cut answer. It's a great question. I love it. I don't think there's a clear-cut answer, though.
Right.
Because there's so many variables that I need to know around that. And if it's sort of a sideways shot at Kirk, I mean, yeah, some of his shortcomings as a person playing quarterback are definitely exposed. But yeah, that's a tough one. I will say, I think the answer to the question has definitely changed in the last 20 years. It feels like there was a time where you could probably get by a little bit more, not a lot more, but a little bit more with your quarterback not being the guy completely. That I don't think that's the case now. And so, you know, but again, you know, Dex, this is why the whole question is, can Kirk Cousins be Matt Stafford, right?
Yes.
Because, yep, like they're saying, essentially what people are saying who believe that that is the case is, well, hey, Stafford's really good and he's a nice player, but so is Kirk. And so now we're about to find out. But I love the question. I just don't know it can be answered concisely and clearly, because it's so, there's so many things that go into it.
So I guess if I said it's 80%, that means one in every five games that like your quarterback just played disastrously, do you walk away as a winner? Like you would walk away with a win in one of those five games where that quarterback was solely awful. But at the same time, we've seen all, and Kirk's probably the poster boy of it. Kirk is a guy who puts up the amazing stats and doesn't get all the wins, right? Like that. That's the cloudy nature of the Rubik's cube here you're trying to figure out of how much influence that quarterback has, because there's, in football, yes, it's the most important position, but so many things have to be going your way, and also can you overcome that?
Right. Well, I mean,
it's a gray area.
Case had a magical year in 17, just a magic carpet ride, but without that being a top flight defense, they still win games, but they don't win games like they did. No way. And so, like, the question becomes, what can you get away with? What can the defense not do and you still win games? And look, I mean, it gets to me, Declan, as nuanced as this question. Does Kirk Cousins even throw that ball to Diggs to win the Saints playoff game? Because that's a broken play.
Yep.
And that's a play where all hell broke loose. And that's also a play that, like, Keenum was the type of guy who was wired to say,
let's do it.
Let's take the risk.
Yeah.
I don't know that Kirk is. So, like, that's just, it goes into so many questions. I love it, though. Great, great question.
Some Judd comments here. Jake says, Judd is losing all of his credibility.
Oh.
Hold on, though. He says, hold on.
Oh, good.
I know what's happening here.
Yeah.
His depression of the Wild losing has ruined his soul. Now he's taking it out on the Vikings.
Have I changed much since
have you changed? Well, you were pretty upset about this Wild team.
Oh no, I am. But have my Vikings takes changed?
No,
takes changed.
No,
I came on today on PD with you and Mackie, yeah, and I gave you four sort of, well, at least three positive things.
You did,
from the Friday rookie mini camp practice that I attended, because you all out there deserve as much reality as you can get.
Give it a little tease of one of those, and you can go back and watch that full episode. It's on this YouTube channel. It's on this podcast feed. What was one of those things that stood out to you, Jim?
First impressions of Kevin O'Connell as head coach, actually working with players.
Wow. I love it.
That's all I'm going to give you.
Culture change.
That's all I'm going to give you.
Yeah.
But I'm, folks, I'm here for you.
Yeah. Well, Ty doesn't think so. Ty says the only thing that Judd Zolgad, there's like seven Z's in the Z there.
Why is that? What's the need for that?
I think he's interpreting two things reading this. It means you're a snore fest, you know, like because it's Z's for sleeping.
Oh, I like it. Okay.
Or yeah. It's Zolgad, like we like to do being, you know,
okay.
Being kind of cheeky.
I like it. Okay.
Because the only thing that Judd Zolgad is excited about is being zealous about seeing Kirk fail. Just be real. Just be real, Judd. He wants you to be real. You want to see Kirk fail, don't you?
Okay.
No.
Oh, I mean, the cousin stands are out there. There's nothing I can. I am a superhero fighting against the cousin stands. That's what I am. I'm a superhero fighting. I'm like a cartoon character fighting against you, cartoon character cousin stands. And there's nothing more I can do than bring reality. Bring the reality to you every day. That's why I love you people.
And
out there.
And look, Judd is if Kirk leads this team to a Super Bowl,
oh, it'd be great.
Judd might even tattoo Kirk onto his body. I don't know.
Oh, that's not gonna happen. I would never get a tattoo. I would never get a tattoo. It's nothing against Kirk. A needle is not touching my body.
Okay,
I'm fine. Not doing that. Not unless I have to have. Not unless it has to happen.
Fair. Very.
That's
fair.
It.
That's it for comments from YouTube. That's what we got.
Okay, that was good.
Back on Saturday for comments of YouTube. Back tomorrow with Mackie, Judd, and Declan. iPro formation on Purple Daily. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.